You're listening to the Adventure RX podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Reichert. Guys, I want to just take a quick second to let you know that the audio that you're about to hear in this podcast is ripped from a series of five videos that I posted on our YouTube channel, which is also called Adventure RX. So I hope you enjoy this series and that you will subscribe and continue following along with the work that we're doing to empower life with type 1 diabetes, because adventure is great medicine.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Adventure RX. This is a daily vlog about adventure, inspiration, and their impact on my life with type 1 diabetes. And today I'm going to be concluding the series that I've been doing about the ketogenic diet and type 1 diabetes by talking a little bit about what I don't like about the ketogenic diet. I'm going to talk about troubleshooting it, the things that typically go wrong, the things that are difficult, sort of show you the other side of the coin, because a lot of times when people are proponents of a diet or a way of eating, they are going to only tell you the things that make their case look really good. And I have no investment in the ketogenic diet other than it has enabled me to manage my diabetes much more confidently and take my diabetes to places that otherwise would be incredibly, incredibly difficult for me to do. And I think it's important for you to understand the flip side of that as well. Okay, so this is episode 51, and I'm pretty stoked because 51 episodes in, that means we're more than halfway to the goal that I set when I posted my first vlog here to YouTube on, I believe it was January 1st, 2016, where I said I was gonna make 100 or more videos this year. And since this is now a daily vlog, assuming that I'm able to come even close to that schedule, we're gonna definitely meet and exceed the goal of 100 videos this year. So that's pretty cool. I'm also excited to be getting back out west, getting back to adventure, and being able to be in the mountains and get climbing again. So we're leaving Massachusetts on Monday. We're gonna be flying back to Seattle, and then we're gonna get in the trailer and we're gonna head up north into Canada, where we're gonna be hopefully in Squamish, near Vancouver in that area, and then into the Bugaboo Mountains also in British Columbia. And there's gonna be a lot of really awesome climbing with some pretty cool friends of mine who also live with type 1. And this episode of the vlog is the conclusion of my discussion of type 1 diabetes and the ketogenic diet. Because as I said a couple of days ago, the point of this vlog is not to harp on how you should eat and the diet. You know, that's an individual decision that everybody needs to make. But I also realize that when I look at how I do what I do and how I've been able to go to some of the extremes that I've taken my diabetes to, that for me, the critical element there has not been technology, it has not been drugs, because I've been on injections my entire diabetes career for 17 years. And I've always operated with, you know, just whatever my insurance would give me at whatever time. And so at a bare minimum of technology and medication, my diet has been the variable that has really helped me to put diabetes in the proper perspective. That's something that I want to be able to give to everyone else. So if you visited livingvertical.org, or if you've Googled ketogenic diet and type 1 diabetes, there's a good chance that you have seen the blog post that I wrote. It's ranked number one in Google searches about ketogenic diet and type 1 diabetes. And I've gotten a lot of responses and input, and I've been able to help a lot of people, I think, or at least communicate with a lot of people, whether or not that was helpful, about how to get started and be successful on the ketogenic diet. And I also wrote an ebook that I've encouraged everybody to download, which is available at livingvertical.org, because it kind of goes along with what we're talking about here. And there's some data, some graphs of my blood sugar and my CGM continuous glucose monitoring graphs that are included in that ebook that also compares how the vegan diet did when I was on that for a month before I went on a ketogenic diet. So the ebook is something that it's free and you should totally download and check it out if you're interested in what we're talking about in this video series. And it's really easy to cut out carbs from your diet because, you know, there's still so much that you can eat. One of the things that makes a ketogenic diet difficult to maintain is the fact that not only are you going low carb, but then additionally you're going a further step of cutting your protein intake to only moderate. And that means that the list of foods that you could safely eat shrinks in type and it shrinks in proportion. So that means that, for example, things like tuna fish, you know, tuna fish doesn't have a whole lot of fat, or eggs, you know, and those types of foods, you can eat them, but you're going to want to eat them in smaller proportions. You're not going to want to load up on them because of the simple fact that eating too much protein will have the same effect that eating carbohydrates will, and that is ultimately just kicking you out of ketosis and keeping your body from adapting to burning fats so that it stays on a glucose-centered pathway, and that makes it difficult for you to get the full benefit of the diet in terms of the energy and the mental clarity that comes with being in ketosis. So in order to really get the benefit that most people seek to achieve by following a ketogenic diet, you have to be committed to doing it with great discipline. And when I first started on the keto diet, I was very disciplined and I was putting a lot of time and effort into eating fat. And just eating foods that have a lot of fat is usually not going to be enough, because to eat enough of a given food item to where you're getting the fat content that you need, you're probably going to overeat your protein requirement if you're trying to do it that way. So it becomes necessary to supplement with additional pure fats like coconut oil, MCT oil, olive oil, and there's a certain extent to which you can use your foods as vehicles for this fat, like salads and your coffee and in various dishes that you make. But at the end of the day, the real target that is hard to hit is the fat intake. Simply cutting your carbs will not put you into ketosis. You are not following a ketogenic diet, even though you may be following a low-carb diet. The good news is that a low-carb diet does great by many people, and I have gone in and out of ketosis over the last year. As you just saw in the video that I posted a couple of days ago talking about what I eat, and being back here in Massachusetts, I had greater incentive to discipline my eating again to really increase the fat. And I had been on a low carb diet, but when I increased the fat, lo and behold, here I go into ketosis again. And then that reacclimation process did not feel very good. And today I feel way better because now I'm in ketosis again and I'm doing better, being more diligent about my supplements. And so I feel like a new man and I have tons of energy. And reacclimatizing to ketosis a second time around is much less traumatic than the very first time that I did it a year ago. And so that part, maybe it's not so bad, but it's not just as simple as cutting the carbs out. And that's one thing that a lot of people struggle with. And that is something that I have struggled with. Another thing that is really challenging about this diet is that your supplements have to be on point. In order for this diet to work and for you to feel better as a result of being on it, your electrolytes and minerals need to be at a high enough level where you're gonna feel good and your body is gonna be able to burn ketones effectively without depleting yourself and feeling run down. And that run down feeling where all your minerals are being absorbed or literally pissed out of your body, that is what causes the keto flu to occur. And the feeling that I got yesterday as I was readapting is because that increase in fat and the use of the minerals in that process of burning ketones, and then you have to replace them really aggressively. And if you don't do that, it's not gonna feel good at all, and you can bonk really, really hard. And that's definitely a risk factor. And the amount of minerals and electrolytes that you need to take in are far greater than what is found in most supplements, so you really have to supplement aggressively. My supplement game has not been very strong, and that's something that I really want to improve because I want to see if I can do better adhering to the keto diet this time around when we go back out there on the road. And I think that supplements are a big part of being able to do that, and also, of course, not getting lazy. And again, the commitment that is required for the ketogenic diet, it's not good if you want to be lazy. And I'm a pretty lazy person, so a lazy person can fairly easily cut carbs out. I don't think it's the same can be said for a lazy person being able to easily follow a ketogenic diet. It really takes some deliberate attention. Intermission time. I'm spying on Lilo. She's out for a walk with my mother-in-law. These are her boulders. She loves climbing on these. It's really cool. Like, ever since she was a little baby and she was first learning how to walk, we kept trying to teach her how to climb them and how to get involved in bouldering, because, like, you know, you want your kid to be interested in the same things that you're interested in. These are just decorative rocks that are in the parking lot here at my mother-in-law's place. And over the last couple of years, as Lilo has grown from like an infant into a toddler, it's been so cool just watching her, you know, develop to the point where she can actually climb these things now. And now she's able to just walk up to it and climb it with no difficulty at all. It's pretty neat. So that's pretty much all I have for you about the ketogenic diet. You know, at the end of the day, it's a useful tool to have. I think that for most people, a low-carb diet is probably a better fit because of the fact that it is much lower maintenance. It's much easier to follow without having to really be deliberate about it beyond a certain point, because there's so much more food that you can eat. And it's something that, at least to me, feels a little bit more casual. And you can still get 80% of the benefits that you get on a ketogenic diet on simply a diet that is low carb, even a low carb, high fat diet. But you really it's only when you start to shift the fat intake to being 70-80% of your calories in a day, that's when you really hit ketosis. And when you hit ketosis, sure, it is amazing. And like, since I have adapted again and kind of am back in ketosis now, it feels incredible, and I have tons of energy, and like, in a really good way. It's an amazing feeling that I want to continue. So I'm gonna try to maintain a state of ketosis as long as I possibly can, and try to do better with my supplementation, because I think that is going to be something that can give me a lot better of an experience about it. But I also wanted to present the other half of this to you so that you understand that this is not dogma about diets. This is just my experience, what I've dealt with this diet and managing it, my type 1 diabetes through using it. I think it's gaining a lot more traction. There are a lot of people who are searching and Googling the ketogenic diet and type 1 diabetes way more so than ever before. And I think that with most people, at the very least, even if they're attempting a ketogenic diet, they may find that the ketosis part is only a temporary thing that they want to do here and there, but that the real takeaway is learning how to just control your blood sugar so much more readily by eating fewer carbohydrates and eating a diet that has more healthy fat in it, and being able to do what you want to do and live your life on your own terms without having to live your life as an employee of this chronic illness where you're always having to go around and change and do and fix and put out fires. Because I've had to do that, and I still do at times. There are times when my blood sugar goes off the rails, but overall, my diet has been the tool, the lever that I've leaned on more times than not, that allows me to get my blood sugar back where I want it to be so that I can stop focusing on my diabetes. So that's it for this episode. I hope you will subscribe to this channel. Feel free to ask questions about my experience eating low carb, athletics on a low carb diet, on a ketogenic diet, because I have interchangeably gone back and forth, and I want to share the experiences that I have had to benefit others who are looking into this way of eating. And pretty soon, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having vlogs out as we go back into the mountains and start to put the diet to the test and really put the adventure back in the Adventure RX. I want to just thank specifically the patrons who are supporting Living Vertical and the work that we're doing. We don't have any sponsors. We are 100% community supported, and there's a handful of folks that are supporting through our Patreon community, which is patreon.com/livingvertical. So if you're interested in getting awesome perks like photo prints, photo books, I'm going to actually be putting out a print photo journal that's going to be published twice a year. And these are all things that are available exclusively to our patrons.